Let's start the Dhyana Shloka.
Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gratitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshini Bhagavati Ashtadashadhyayini Ambatvamanusandadhami Bhagavat Gite Bhavadveshini Namostute Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullaravindayata Patra Netra Enatvaya Bharatatai Lapurnaha Prajvalito Jnanamaya Pradipaha Prapanna Parijataya Totra Vetraika Panaye Jnanamudraya Krishnaya Gitamrita Duhe Namaha Sarvopanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandanaha Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gitamritam Mahat Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum Bhishmadrona Tata Jayadrata Jala Gandhara Nilotpala Shalyagrahavati Kripena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwatthama Vikarna Ghoramakara Duryodhanavartini Sothirnakhalu Pandavairananadi Kaivartaka Keshavah Parashariyavachasarojamamalam Gitartagandotkatam Nanakhyanaka Kesaram Harikata Sambodhanabodhitam Loke Shajjana Shatpadairaharaha Pipiyamanam Muda Bhuyad Bharata Pankajam Kalimala Pradvam Sinashreyase Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kirim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha Stunvanti Divye Stavai Vedai Sangha Padakramo Panishadai Gayanti Yam Samaga Dhyana Vastu Tita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yoginaha Yasyantam Navidusura Suragana Devaya Tasmai Namaha.
Yeah. Are you able to see the slides?
Yes, I could see.
Okay, fine. And the audio is also fine, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sadashiva-samarambham Shankaracharya-madhyamam Asmadacharya-paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om.
So, with the 29th verse that we completed in the last class, the topic on a jnani karma yogi, that is a person who is a jnani already, what is his attitude, how does he take to karma yoga, was covered and that was over. And Lord Krishna comes back to the original topic of karma yoga, right? And as I was saying, he summarizes the entire karma yoga in one single verse, which is a very, very important verse. So Lord Krishna is summarizing through a 5-point program, which we started in the last class. Okay. So, Mai Sarvani Karmani Sanyas Yatmana Chetasaha Atma Chetasaha Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva Yudhyasva Vigatajvaraha. Okay. So, this was the verse that we were seeing. And we will go through this 5-point program now that Krishna has summarized. Adhyatma Chetasa is the first one, right? Clarity on priorities in life. So, Karma Yogi must consider that spiritual progress is primary and all other material goals have to be accomplished but are subservient to the spiritual goal. This clarity must be there in the mind of the Karma Yogi. First one. Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. Right? What is Nitya Vastu? Moksha. Moksha is Nitya Vastu. Right? So, and what is Anitya Vastu? Other three Purusharthas. Dharma, Artha and Kama Purushartha are considered ephemeral. Moksha alone is eternal. Right? So, I have to use Dharma, Artha and Kama to attain moksha, which is the Nityam. Now, this clarity or difference between the Nitya and Anitya Vastu, we must have as a Karma Yogi in our mind all the time. We may be pursuing other goals in life, but we have to be clear that these are all Anityam and the Nitya Vastu is only one and which is moksha. And that is our primary goal. This clarity is called Adhyatma Chetasa, right? Clarity on the spiritual progress, right? The spiritual goal itself is the first one, Adhyatma Chetasa. Second is Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya. Lord Krishna is addressing Arjuna, right? So, what he says is, this is actually talking about the Ishwara Arpana Bhavaha, right? What he is saying is purification of the mind has to start right away. For instance, as Swamiji often quotes this example, now suppose, you know, somebody like Swami Dayananda Saraswati or some other acharya wants to construct an ashrama. First, what will they do? While they plan and they make all, the elaborate planning for getting sponsorship, money, etc. for the ashrama, the minute the land is procured, they will first dig a well and plant the trees. So that by the time they are able to establish the ashram, the buildings come up, the trees are ready and it looks like an ashram and there is enough shade, right? So, what Krishna is saying is, yes, your actual jnana yoga may start later, but purification of the mind has to start right away, right? So, when I am going to be ready for Vedantic inquiry, how long I am going to take to acquire Sadhana Chatushtayam? I don't know. What is Sadhana Chatushtayam? 4 D's, right? That we studied in Introduction to Vedanta. Discipline, dispassion, right? So, the sixfold discipline and then the dispassion as well as desire for mumukshutvam, right? Or mumukshutvam, which is desire for moksha. This is Sadhana Chatushtayam. Now, we don't know how long it will take for us to develop Sadhana Chatushtayam, when will we be ready for Vedantic inquiry? But I have to start purifying my mind immediately. I don't need any approval from anybody for this, right? So the only way to purify the mind is through God. God alone has the capacity to purify our mind. Everything else in this world is impure in some form or the other, right? So even if we say that, no, the saint is very great, so I believe in the saint, right? We have to understand that the Lord is being seen through the saint. So it is actually the God who purifies through the saint. Therefore, convert everything that you do. Anything, Panchamaha Yajna or any activity that you do, convert it as an offering to the Lord. Ishvara Arpana Bhavaha. So the second point is, Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya. Sanyasya means offering here. In the last class, we saw that, right? The third one is Nirashi, right? Any karma will produce a phalam, definitely, right? I have no way of knowing what type of result it will produce. Now, the karma yoga has to prepare our mind to receive any type of result, right? I approach the Lord, right, as the most just principle in this world, right? If there is a gap between what I expect and what I receive, right? Bhagavan's computer can never commit a mistake. It is that we do not understand something. So therefore, preparedness to accept all consequences in the form of prasada buddhi, viveka buddhi, ishvara arpana buddhihi, that is nirashi, right? So, while the second one talked about ishvara arpana buddhihi, this is more into terms of prasada buddhihi, right? So, nirashi refers to the prasada buddhihi or accepting the results or preparedness to accept all kinds of consequences, right? And then the fourth point, right? The fourth point is nirmamaha, right? If at all our actions are successful, never take the credit to yourself because they are due to innumerable factors, right? Now, 90% is dependent on others, right? Like this class, for instance, whatever class we are doing now. Even for that, you may be a student, I may be a teacher. But if you just look back, think back and reflect, we need the power, right? We need the nice internet setup. We need GoToWebinar, which the servers of that may be in some other countries, right? Then my throat, right? That is Adi Bhautika, Adi Atmika, Adi Daivika. We need blessings from all the three different areas. Now, if you remember, I talked about Adhyatmika, Adi Bhautika and Adi Daivika factors operating. And that is why we always say Om Shanti 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 Hi thrice, right? Which means anything with respect to my body, anything with respect to my surroundings, right? Anything which is beyond me, which is godly, right? Or the nature, any of those, we should not trouble us in any form during the class, right? We pray. Now, therefore, whenever our actions are successful, we must remember that it is not aham or mama alone that is playing. We have to acknowledge the credit to others also. Now, this part is very important even when in your work life, right? What happens normally is, if you apply this to your, say, your corporate life or even the home front, right? We will start thinking about acknowledging others. Now, sometimes when you observe great leaders, right, operating in companies, you will see that they have this trait naturally in them. Whenever there is success, they will always celebrate with the team. They will say it is because of others. They will always pass on the credit, though the main brain may have been that person. So this is a learning that we get even from here, that when we are functioning as a team, right, it is always better to place others ahead of us, because in that process, our team will feel more energetic and will work towards the goal. So this is also very practically relevant, is what I have observed during my own work life, right? So it is very important for us to get rid of this nirmamatvam, as we call it, right? This is a very, very important point. And there is something called class projection. Swamiji uses this word, class projection. Class, CL, meaning claims, ownership, claiming ownership, right? A is anxiety with respect to the results. SP is special prayers for just our thing. Now, sometimes the success of what we want to get, maybe at the cost of somebody else, but we still want to do special prayers, right? So nirmamatma means being humble and also focusing on class rejection. Very, very important point, right? This is the fourth one. And so actually in Gita, in the 13th chapter, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, etc. are talked about in great detail. Humility is very, very important, right? Now, sometimes the opposite of this is taught in the corporate and management world, saying you must stand up and speak for yourself, etc. I am saying practically, even with all that, you can still say, you know, it is the team that is functioning, there are others in the company, the others in your team, others working in the office, right? In fact, recently, I was looking at some interview where some very important CEO of a company actually rejected a candidate because, gave less marks in the exam or something. Yeah, I think this CEO was studying in some top university in the US, and he was given less marks for one question. And the question was, right through the year, they had written all kinds of tough papers and he had got a 4.0 CGPA. That last paper had only one question. I don't know which subject it was, okay? There is a lady who comes in to clean. There is a person who comes in to clean your classroom every day, the entire semester. Name that lady. That's all. Whole exam, okay? Whole exam is just one question. He remembered it was a lady, but he did not remember the name. So this CEO says, that is when I learned, right? He did that. That was the first time he lost his marks also. That is when I learned that there are so many people around me who are contributing to me, which I don't think and acknowledge, right? So apparently after that, when he is looking at senior positions, he would take them to breakfast in a hotel for an interview, and he would go and tell the person in the, the hotel to mess up the order. He wants to see how the person reacts, or I would say responds, right, to such a situation. Because it is very easy to let go of your guard and take, everything as aham mama. And not only in this case, you don't even acknowledge the presence of another human being, right? So even in a corporate setup, while yes, I understand that we have to take credit for what we do, etc., it is important for us to acknowledge other people's work also. This is something that if we do not know or we have not practiced, because of our exposure to spiritual teaching, we can try and start practicing this, right? So, till now, whatever we focus as a karta, as a doer. The second role we function is bhokta, right? Bhokta is the experiencer, right? So, what is life? Life is what happens to you when you're actually doing other things. You are planning, right? For son to do something, daughter to do something, right? And then suddenly, totally out of the blue, something opposite happens, right? That is life, right? And how we are able to take these situations and respond is what the difference between a karma yogi and a non-karma yogi is, right? It's very important for us to understand that. And imbibing this teaching means consciously trying to change some of our behavior. And it comes automatically with Ishwara Arpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhava, because humility starts setting in slowly, right? And also, very important point is, repeatedly Krishna says, you must take up jobs that are aligned to your guna. Right? If you are sattva guna oriented, do these kind of jobs. If you are rajo guna oriented, do these kind of jobs. It's very clear, right? Don't force it. But assume that in today's context, you take up a job because something is paying, and after 5-6 years, you are so bored and bugged and irritated about going to your work on Monday. Right? Now, you can either complain about it because you cannot leave the job, you have a family by then, or you can try and make that itself interesting, right? So, what Swamiji advises here is, innovate that job and improve the job. do some research, make it interesting. Even that boredom, you try and find something interesting within that and convert, and that is also a characteristic of Karma Yoga, right? So, in 18th chapter, Krishna says, right, Dhruti Utsahaha Samanvitaha, that is, he must be an embodiment of Utsahaha, enthusiasm, right? Half our tension is gone by loving what we have to do, right? And when we have resistance to what happens, what is happening, then as a bhokta, we have a problem, right? So, as an experiencer, equanimity is possible if I learn to accept whatever comes as result, once I understand that Bhagavan can never be unjust, right? If we stop questioning that Bhagavan cannot be unjust and we accept that, right, then we do not have a problem, right? So, therefore, here Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, right, you surrender to the Lord, right, and if you do not have the strength to accept, one way of doing it is surrender to the Lord and ask for strength to accept whatever I have to face. So, Arjuna now has to shoot his near and dear ones, right, which is the worst form of Karma Yoga, but Arjuna is having to face that, right? You remember in the first chapter he said, Guru Nahatva, how do I actually be killing my own Guru, etc., right? So, and he says, even if I am victorious, it is blood-stained pleasure that I am going to get, right? And he actually has no choice. He has to accept and in fact love killing them because that is his Karma Yoga now, right? And he has to accept their dying or his own dying. At that stage, he doesn't know. As Ishvara Prasada, right? So, the fifth one is Vigata Jwaraha, right? Which is freedom from mental fever. What is that? Tension, right? Freedom from tension, right? So, that is the fifth condition, Vigata Jwaraha. Now, the same five-point program, right? In simple English is, priority with regard to life goals, topmost being spiritual goal, offering all actions to the Lord, the second one, accepting all results as God's gift, humbly appreciating the blessings of the Lord in success, right? And you can extend it to humbly appreciating the others who are with you. And five is maintenance of samatvam or equanimity. Okay? Very useful slide. If you want, you can print and keep it in front of you, right? Because this is easier to understand because it is in simple English. So, mai sarvani karmani sanyasya atma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigatachvaraha. Vigatachvaraha, offering all actions unto me with a devout mind, fight without expectations, without possessiveness and without any anxiety. So let's continue.
Eme matamidam nityam, eme matamidam nityam, anutishtanti manavah, shraddhavantona suyantah, shraddhavantona suyantah, muchyante tepi karma bihi.
Okay. Now, in these two verses, right, Krishna talks of advantages of following Karma Yoga and disadvantage of not following Karma Yoga. Complementary shlokas, okay? So, first followers, yeye matamidam nityam anutishtanti. Very simple Sanskrit, right? So, some lucky people who follow this teaching of mine to their capacity, right? Krishna does not expect 100% perfection. He expects sincerity in following, right? So, nobody needs to feel. Initially, when you are on this Bhagavad Gita study or you are on this spiritual journey, you always have this slight worry and complex. Am I ready? Am I qualified? Right? You have all these worries. There is no problem. Krishna says, I am not expecting you to be 100% perfect. All that I expect is sincerity. And constantly they follow every moment, right? How they follow is with total faith in the efficacy of the teaching, right? Benefit of Karma Yoga is spiritual in nature. Therefore, faith is very important. You can't give a concrete number like you will have a 5% increase in profit. You will have 10% increase in turnover. You can't do that, right? Benefit is subtle benefit, right? Now, in Sakama Karma, the Adrishta Punyam is the benefit because you are praying for something, right? It could be Adrishta Punyam. Sometimes it can be Drishta Phalam also. Like, for instance, you are praying for wealth. Maybe you're getting all the wealth after that. So that is Sakama Karma, that is actually Kamya Karma, producing Drishta Phalam. That means something that can be seen and experienced. Assume that that's not happening. You are just praying for your own heaven, Punyam and all. Then you will get Adrishta Punyam, which is the benefit. Now, Nishkama is what we are talking about, right? So purification. Now I cannot, Krishna is saying, I cannot physically show you. Practice and see for yourself whether this works. This has been working, I am telling you. In fact, in the fourth chapter, he will begin with that verse. He will say, I am there from not Esther years, from Yuga Yuga Kala and all. I am there and this teaching is coming down, right? Then Arjuna gets confused. He says, you were standing in front of me, my friend, how you were there at that time. And then Krishna begins to explain avataras. It is coming in the fourth chapter, right? So I am making sure that you will all be interested in the fourth chapter. So we are going to read a lot about avatara in the fourth chapter, right? So here he is saying, look, I can only tell you that it is time tested. And if you practice, you can see for yourself, right? While increasing karma yoga in parallel, right? Reduce or eliminate the following. Nishiddha karma, kamya karma, prayachitta karma and parihara karma. I thought I will just take 2 minutes and explain this. Nishiddha karmas are those that are not supposed to be done at all. What are they? You can't murder somebody. You cannot cheat somebody. Right? If you remember in chapter 1, I talked about how this Duryodhana was a Mahaatatai. All the 5 conditions he had satisfied, right? So, those are all Nishiddha karmas. You cannot lie, you cannot steal, all of that, right? Now, Kamya karma is something that you do to get for your own selfish interest. My business, my wealth, etc. You do the same puja, but for your selfish benefit interest. That is Kamya karma. Prayachitta karma is, I have made some mistake, okay, I am doing something to compensate for it. Right? Those days they used to do prayachitta karma for traveling across the seas, right? Because that was taboo those days, right? Now that is prayachitta karma. Parihara karma is yet another category, which is something that you may have done in the past janmas, which is visible in your horoscope or something. Generally they find out from horoscope or something. Then he will say, okay, you have Rahu problem, so you do this pariharam, etc. All of these karmas, Krishna mentions as Nishiddha or Vihita Karmani, which means don't do or start reducing because I know overnight you cannot cut it to zero, right? Very, very important, right? So, now the other point that he is here emphasizing is Anusuyantaha, right? Very, very important point, right? So, what he is saying here is basically, you should not have asuya, right? That is anasuya. Without asuya, in Dharma Shastra, criticizing mentality, right? All the time looking for mistakes in others. What they call as a proofreader's mind is wrong, right? In life, I should not be a proofreader, right? In fact, Swamiji says that even children's mark, these days the competition is so high that when the child brings a report card and has got 4 90s and 160s, the parents miss encouraging the child on the 90s and only picks that 60 and starts picking on the child, and how it can be psychologically very damaging to the child, right? So critical mindedness is very bad, especially with regard to scriptures. We will end up rejecting the scriptures, right? And if we end up rejecting the scriptures, Rishis and Bhagavan do not lose anything. We are the ones who lose out. God does not expect a certificate from us, right? So, you just try and follow the teaching with complete belief or Shraddha in the scriptures, right? It's like getting gold from tons of earth, right? they have to take out the earth and sieve and then take out the gold, right? So it's like that literally, right? And second, even if you feel there are defects, the feeling that you should have or the attitude that you should have towards the scriptures is, it only means I have not understood that portion properly. If I probe into the scriptures and then, you know, later on after I've done enough studies, go and meet a Sampradaya Guru and ask him, then I will understand that there is nothing wrong with the scripture, but my understanding was the problem. This virtue is called Anusuya, right? So, in chapter 9, 18 chapter, fourth qualification, this is actually stressed so much, right? There are this most important qualification, because if you have this mindset, you cannot make spiritual progress at all, right? You will start questioning everything too early, right? As you go into Gita, Upanishad, etc. One thing, our Vedantic studies do not say accept blindly. It is not saying you should not look at it rationally. Only thing it says is be calm, learn from a guru, understand everything, connect everything, and still if you have questions, you can always clarify, but not with a proofreader's mindset, right? So here he's talking about this and he's saying the people who are able to follow with Shraddha, they will be freed from all karma phalams and liberated. This, they will become Jeevan Muktaha, right? So, and also he says, by following Karma Yoga, we must always remember that it can only give Jnana Yogyata, right? Through Chitta Shuddhi. And once you get Jnana Yogyata, you do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, and karma, automatically you will get Guru and Shastram, and then you will get Aham Brahmasmi Jnanam, and then you will get Moksha, right? So, this is the important shloka where practicing Karma Yoga, right, is talked about here, right? The following of Karma Yoga is talked about. The complementary shloka is the 32nd shloka, right? So let's chant that. Etvetadabhyasuyantah, etvetadabhyasuyantah, nanutishtanti mematam, nanutishtanti mematam, sarva jnana vimudastan, sarva jnana vimudastan, viddinashtana chetasaha, viddinashtana chetasaha. So, Krishna is teaching about those who refuse to follow, right? There are some people who refuse to follow the teaching, and refusal is easier than following. Why? Because Karma Yoga is asking us to go with Shastra Vidhi Nishedaha. It's asking us to go as per the Shastra Vidhis. It's saying you must obey, right? And it is saying do not go against the Vidhis. Now what happens typically in Karma Yoga? Take a puja. You have to get up early in the morning. You have to have an early morning bath, right? So now if there is somebody who is used to lazing around in bed without getting up on time and postponing the getting up, and then they decide to have a bed coffee and then roll around, and this is a major change in their tamoguna, right? So the Karma Yoga, that is the puja, is bringing in a discipline forcibly. Now that is why if you see our the way our homes were, was that we had a lot around these disciplines in the morning, getting up at early morning before the sun rises, and then making sure you light the lamp, then you have a bath, come do prayers. So everything, there was a time, and you did not eat without having a, you know, bath. You did not cook without having a bath. All these were followed, right? So these are all certain vidhis. Why? Because Shastra wants us to break out of our tamoguna. Also fasting was advocated, right? Rather than constantly eating chips in front of the TV, etc., you have days when you cannot eat anything, only you can have water, sometimes even without water. It also applied to speaking. We were also asked to be on Maunavirdam, etc., right, on one odd day. No? So it is very important. And the problem with these people, the people who do not want to follow Karma Yoga, they find it difficult to adhere to these rules, right? So, etu me matam nanu tishtanti. So due to finding fault, either with these vidhis or with the Gita teaching, right? Or they will say that, oh, this is all superstition, you know, it is obsolete, our yuga has changed, etc., right? So they are utterly deluded with regard to the all knowledge, not only, you know, atma, anatma, jnanam, even dharma, what is dharma and adharma also, they are confused, right? So once you don't step into dharma and adharma, where is the question of atma, anatma, jnanam, right? So they are people who are indiscriminate people, they are unintelligent people, and since Shastra prescribes disciplines, and if you want, you can take it possibly, but positively, but they look at it negatively, right? And therefore, they look at it as restricting their freedom, and therefore, they do not follow it. Now, Krishna says, Arjuna, you decide what category you want to be, right? So, it's a very, very important shloka from that angle. He says, there are these indiscriminate ones who criticize this teaching of mine, who do not follow it, know them to be completely deluded. Sarva jnana vimudam stan, right? And with respect to all knowledge and be doomed, right? Nashtana chetasaha. So, it is very important that we follow this, right? So, therefore, Krishna always says that this human janma is a rare janma and you have got the chance to understand the scriptures and follow what the scriptures are saying. Now, you decide to take it or you leave it, right? So, 32nd verse talks about the disadvantages of ignoring the karma yoga way of life, right? Very, very important verse from that point. Moving on to the 33rd verse. Sadrisham cheshtate swasyaha. Sadrisham cheshtate swasyaha. Prakritir jnana vanapi. Prakritir jnana vanapi. Prakritim yanti bhutani. Prakritim yanti bhutani. Nigraha kim karishyati. Nigraha kim karishyati. Now, while Krishna is teaching Arjuna, not only he is giving a general message on the entire scriptures, the entire humanity, in and through that, Lord Krishna is also addressing the specific problem of Arjuna, right? And he is doing this in parallel, right? Because in the first chapter, he asked a question, should I fight the Mahabharata war or not, right? So, we are not soldiers in the battlefield. So, we don't apply the fight directly. But our karma yoga. So, karma yoga involves swadharma anushtanam. And for Arjuna, fighting the war is swadharma, right? So, for him, the dharma is, the kshatriya dharma is yuddha. And therefore, you have to fight the war. So, the same advice, Lord Krishna wants to reinforce by giving another argument also. And in the following three important verses, that is 33, 34 and 35, Krishna talks about an important rule, right? And that is, a person should choose a lifestyle which is in keeping with one's temperament, right? We should understand that every human being has got a core personality, core individuality, an inclination or a temperament decided by the combination of the three gunas. What are the three gunas? Sattva, which stands for a contemplative lifestyle. Rajoguna, which stands for an active lifestyle amidst people. And Tamoguna, standing for freedom from lack of activity or a resting kind of guna. Right? These three gunas go together to form a personality of individual. It is not that one person has only sattva, only rajo or only tamo. Then you can imagine there will be no sleeping. Right? That's not what is meant. It is a combination and what is more predominant, right? So, every one of us is a combination of these three gunas in different proportions, right? And that is what determines our temperament or inclination. The lifestyle which we choose, even the profession we choose, even the job we take up must be in keeping with our temperament, right? You remember that I spent a lot of time discussing this in the Ashrama Dharma in the second or third session of introduction to Vedanta, right? I had put down how the Varnashrama Dharma, how the Varna, right? The four different caste systems which were there at that time, there was guna based there was karma based and there was jati based, right? And we also said that the superior way of determining one's, you know, which of the four he or she is affiliated to is guna based, right? I think I have that slide there. So let me just quickly move to that slide and show it to you. Yeah, this was the slide. I have it here. So what personality trait makes me a guna brahmana or kshatriya or vaishya or shudra? The four traits that were given is the spiritual personality is one who loves solitude, who is inquiry loving personality. A dynamic personality is one who is selflessly motivated mind, who has a selflessly motivated mind. He's constantly doing work, but it's for the society. The dynamic personality itself, who is self-centered, which is, you know, focusing on his business, his profits, his turnover. Then the passive personality is one who takes more instructions and executes, who's more passive and not too much of motivation kind of personality. We saw this in great length in the Varnashrama session. I think it is in the second session of Introduction to Vedanta. You may all take a look at that. Right, so I'll go back to the slide. Yeah. So now here what is happening? Now Krishna is addressing Arjuna, right? He is telling him, you are a rajasic person. You cannot quietly live in an ashram without meeting anyone. Most of the time sitting in contemplation, you can't do it, right? It is only, at the most, you can go to a guru for shastra shravanam, right? But you are not the kind of person who can have a withdrawn, quiet, contemplative life, right? That requires a heavy sattva guna, right? So therefore, he is addressing Arjuna saying that, because if you remember in the second chapter, Arjuna said, I will live the life of a bhikshu, right? And I will be a sannyasi. He wanted to run away, right? So Krishna says, Arjuna, your desire for sannyasa is not because of your inclination or temperament. It is because you want to escape from your painful duty, and you may escape and settle in an ashrama, but you will only be comfortable for 1 or 2 days. After that, you will become miserable. This is applicable for all of us also, right? So, you will start quarreling with the ashram people, and then that's your basic temperament, and you will have a problem, right? So, even within jnanis, very interesting, Swamiji always says, there are different types of jnanis, right? There are some who are withdrawn from society and they live in Himalaya, where people don't visit, right? Gangotri, etc. They're just there for 6 months. Some little bit of food they have to sustain, and then they are only in contemplation. In fact, if you read Om Swami's book on meditation, he talks about it, how he struggled with meditation, how 6-7 months he was there with hardly any contact with the outside world, etc. Now, it requires extreme sattva guna to actually be that kind. So, there are also other jnanis who are very active, like Shankaracharya, right? He went around the country establishing mathas, ashramas, debating with other systems of philosophy. If you see some of, you know, his what he has written in Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, you wonder, maybe he knows more of Jainism and Buddhism than the Buddhists and the Jains themselves. That much of research and, you know, he has done, and he has been able to debate with other systems of philosophy, right? And he established temples, etc. Therefore, he's addressing Arjuna and saying, look, sannyasa and ashrama will not work for you. Therefore, better be here and do your job. Very, very important. And every living being leads a life according to its nature, his nature or its nature only. So, prakritim yanti bhutani, right? Inclination will always push a person to live a life in keeping with his temperament, right? And nigraha kim karishyati. So, never stop that personality. Don't suppress your temperament. In fact, Swamiji always tells, even if you feel at some point in time that you want to, you know, stop working because you have enough money for yourself and your generations to come, that is the time when you must say, okay, I will work and donate that money for other charitable causes, right? So, very important is here what Krishna is trying to say is, choose a lifestyle, choose a job choose your karma based on your personality and inclination, right? Very, very important criterion. So even a man of knowledge, right, acts according to his nature. All beings go by their nature. What will restraint do, right, in these cases? Now, very, very important points that I have seen, I thought it is important to note here from Shankara Bhashyam as well as Ramaraya Kavi's commentaries on the Bhashyam. I thought it's important to put that in. See, every action of a human being is actually influenced by two factors, whatever he's doing. One is free will, right? And the other is vasanas. Vasanas are generated either from your own previous actions in this janma or from previous janma. Because from previous janma, if you remember, the chidabhasa, right? The chidabhasa is the reflected consciousness. And the sukshma shariram is coming from janma to janma. So, this part of the vasana is there. Now, it is very, very important when you are practicing as a karma yoga, karma yogi. It is very important for us to watch the thoughts, right? Now, when you watch the thought, why this becomes important is, as you are doing some work, if you have thoughts which are negative, I talked about so many nishiddha karmani, right? How do we address that, right? What is the difference between a person who is exposed to this teaching and not? We now understand that our thoughts can be involuntary coming from the vasanas. So, how can our will help? By nipping it in the bud itself. Removing that thought. The vasana triggers and becomes a thought. Before the thought becomes strong, the will acts as a security check and removes it. Now this requires long practice, and this is a very, very important aspect of karma yoga, which we are going to see in detail later. But I thought I should talk about it because in order to develop this ability, right, first we must do yoga. Second, we must be able to do pranayama and control the breath, because our breath is what leads to thoughts, right? You will see as the breath calms down, you are able to observe your thoughts better, right? And then with the control of the mind, right, by removing these kind of thoughts through meditation, right, you are able to have greater control over your actions. So, as Swamiji puts it, it's not that a jnani should not get angry or should not, but it has to be a response rather than a reaction. What is the difference? A response is a guarded and a calculated way of reacting, unlike reaction which is sudden, right? So, very, very important point. I thought I should bring it. This is talked about in all the commentaries and says very important to develop, because action is after all this. The vasana, thought and all is in the mind. Then finally this becomes an action, which we are going to anyway see now in detail, right? We will be talking about this more. So I just thought on this occasion, I must also put down the link in case any of you are interested to actually listen to Swamiji's recent talk at Shivaratri on the purpose of meditation. Very interesting talk. So the link is there. Any of you can, you know, listen. It is up on the site. It's free for everybody. Moving on to verse 34. Indriyasyendriyasyarte, indriyasyendriyasyarte, ragadveshau vyavastitau, ragadveshau vyavastitau, tayor navashamagachet, tayor navashamagachet, tauhyayasya paripantinau, tauhyayasya paripantinau. I think something is missing here. I'll try and correct it. Okay. The temperaments or the personality of an individual, right, will express in the form of likes and dislikes. I'm actually amazed at how much Gita has analyzed psychology, right? First we saw mind, thoughts, right, all of that. Because thoughts precede actions, right? And now you see how the temperament and the thought and all of that will influence the likes and dislikes, and the personality itself will be impacted, right? Everybody has his own likes and dislikes, right? That is why when the baby is given education initially, you can actually see that some babies get more attached to Swamiji's photos, God's photos, while some others like to build things, some others like to paint things, some of them like nature, they love to be outside, they don't like to be confined inside the house, right? So Raga Dveshaha is actually an expressed version of our personality. How deep this sentence is, huh? So Raga Dveshaha is actually an expressed form of our personality, right? So Krishna says, Indriyasya Indriyasya Arte, right? So with regard to every sensory field, right? Raga Dvesha Vyavasthito. Every human being has got his own likes and dislikes with respect to every sensory field, which means what? Touch, taste, sight, everything, right? So, and some of them are acquired during this Janma and some of them are Purva Janma Samskara, which we experience in prodigies in different fields. You see musical prodigies in second year, fourth year, etc., which we don't even get in 40 and 50 years of our life, or math prodigies, etc., right? This is possible only because of Purva Janma Samskara, right? And these samskaras create our Raga Dvesha. So Krishna says, Raga Dvesha Vyavasthito. So what do you do? Respect them. You cannot suppress them also, right? So based on your Raga Dvesha, if you choose a particular subject, right, rather than go to the job market that is paying you most, at least half your problem is solved, right? Your natural inclination, your natural likes and dislikes are matching with your job, right? So this is one major and important factor. But of course, if you are already in the work and this is something that is totally against your Raga Dvesha, then you have to see how you can make the work enjoyable, right? But Krishna says Raga Dvesha must be respected and the choice must be made based on Raga Dvesha. And he says this is not the only criterion. While fulfilling your inclination, which is your natural desire, ask another question. What is that? Is it dharmic or adharmic? Is this moral or immoral? Should I do this or not? Ethical or not, right? I should use my free will to say, I have this desire, but I don't act according to this because I have taken into account the dharma. So the second criterion is dharma. So first criterion is Raga Dvesha and the second criterion is dharma. So choose preferably a profession which fulfills both the criteria. Choose a lifestyle that fulfills both the criteria, right? Very, very important. So tayorna vasham agachet. So don't become a slave, right? While don't suppress your Raga Dvesha, don't become the slave of your Raga Dvesha, right? And if you have a duty to do, even if I don't like it, I should learn to do it, right? The Dvesha part is you don't like it, but there is a duty, you have to do it, right? Very, very important. So before you implement your Raga Dvesha, your desire, ask whether it is dharmic, right? Only if it is dharmic, go ahead, right? So Raga Dvesha Paripantinav means it's an obstacle to spiritual growth, right? So the important aspect that we have to remember is you have to grow out of Raga Dvesha. Suppressing Raga Dvesha will not help. At the same time, giving in to Raga Dvesha and not doing your dharma is also wrong. So gradually you grow out of this because it is an obstacle to spiritual growth, right? Respect your passion, but don't be enslaved by your passion. Learn to say no where you have to say no, right? Moving on. Shriyan Swadharmo Vigunaha, Shriyan Swadharmo Vigunaha, Paradharmat Swanushtitat, Paradharmat Swanushtitat, Swadharme Nidhanam Shreyaha, Swadharme Nidhanam Shreyaha, Paradharmo Bhayavaha, Paradharmo Bhayavaha. Okay, now here Krishna concludes this discussion here. Swadharma is lifestyle in keeping with our personality. a lifestyle in which I fulfill Panchamaha Yajna duties, and these fivefold duties are fulfilled with my personality, right? So, Shreyan Swadharmaha means a lifestyle keeping in with one's own Prakriti or Swadharma is always better than Paradharmat Swanushtitat, than taking to somebody else's way of living or Dharma, right? Even if you enter a particular ashrama without being ready for that, that is also wrong, right? So, just like in any profession, you can take up another job. In ashrama, you can't. If you have taken sannyas ashrama, it's a one-way traffic. You cannot come back, right? So, very important, because Dayananda Swamiji keeps on saying that even for sannyasis, they have friction sometimes. So, you should not take sannyasa because you are escaping something else, right? So, similarly, in all our dharma and our work, swadharma is more important, and it is definitely superior to paradharma or somebody else's work or somebody else's duties, right? And when I don't like my job, generally there is a tension inside because there's a conflict. So, to the extent possible, love what you're doing so that you don't have this conflict, right? And even to say, listen to Bhagavad Gita, to come to this class and sit and listen, we need a calm and relaxed mind. So, you should not have internal conflicts, right? Very, very important. So, Krishna says, the problem is incompatibility throughout. If you take to something that is not aligned to your personality, then you will have lifelong incompatibility. So, if we choose the profession the other way, right? So, it is always better to choose based on your inclination. And in the olden days, it was based on heredity, because the belief was that the inclination will also follow from one generation to another, right? Very, very important, right? And this is the point that Krishna is telling here. One's own duty, although it may be improperly performed, right, is better than another's duty which is properly performed, right? And even death in one's own duty is better. This is contextual, right? Another's duty is harmful. This is for Krishna. So, Krishna has to fight the war here. So, he is telling even death in one's own duty is better. Another's duty is harmful, right? Moving on to the next verse. Arjuna uvacha. Atha kena prayuktoyam, papam charati purushah, anichanna pivashneya, baladivaniyojitah. Now, Arjuna is asking a very, very important question, right? So, in the previous three verses, Krishna gave an important message. Before doing any action, you have to see whether the action fulfills two criteria. What are the two? One is based on my own likes and dislikes. Second is whether it is appropriate or inappropriate, right? So, buddhi has to filter the whatever action that we are going to do before that at the thought stage itself. So, mind and buddhi take care of personal raga dvesha, right? After the double filter, when the action comes, I enjoy the action because it is in keeping with these things. It will not cause any harm. It is a dharmic action. So, Arjuna says, this is very logical, right? This is the teaching of our scriptures, and humanity is aware of this. Who does not know this, right? Even though everybody seems to be aware of the importance of values or dharma in life, right? Why humanity does not follow that, right? Karma yoga followers are very few in society. So, Arjuna vacha, ask Krishna, atha, in spite of the knowledge of dharma, right? Purushaha papam charati kena, what is the cause, right? What is the cause or powerful force due to which people violate dharma? In spite of knowledge, they are violating, right? Exactly how we violate the red signal, right? When there is a traffic light, right? So we know it is wrong, right? In spite of that, why do people violate, right? That is Arjuna's question. So Arjuna is asking, oh Krishna, then prompted by what does this person commit sin, even though unwilling, as though he is forcibly engaged, right? Right? So purushaha papam charati, right? Anichchan api, even though he doesn't want to do it, everyone wants to be a dharmic person only, even against his one wish, own wish, he is forced or propelled, persuaded by some other kind of devil inside, right? What is that force? As though he is pushed by invisible negative force. Just as, you know, some religions say there is a devil and an angel, etc., right? So something inside which is pushing. Therefore, baladiva niyojitaha, as though he is forcibly engaged, right? What is that? For which Lord Krishna gives the answer. Shri Bhagavanuvacha,
Kama esha krodha esha, Rajoguna samudbhavah, Mahashano Mahapapma, Vidyenamiha Vairinam.
Now the Lord answers, I'll just introduce this and then stop, right? He says there is no outside devil or anything. Don't look for something outside you. It is nothing but a powerful force within you only, right? There is a complementary pair that is in everyone. What is that? Kama esha krodha esha. Kama means powerful desire or passion, which is also called ragaha. So attachment or desire or passion to get something, drive to get something, desire to get something, that is kamaha. Second one is krodha, means anger, right? Anger which results out of not getting something, or right, in general anger. So rajoguna samudbhavaha, both are born out of the saturation of rajoguna. Greater the rajoguna, greater kamakrodaha. Greater the sattva guna, lesser the kamakrodaha. So rajoguna samudbhavaha, born out of rajoguna, right? He has enumerated two of them, right? Which is kama and krodha, born out of rajoguna samudbhavaha, right? Because they always go together as a pair. And what can human being, who is so different from the animal, an animal is also going through all this. But remember that the difference between the human being and the animal is the free will. The free will, how does it impact and how can it be utilized for handling kama krodaha, right? So just see, the same rajoguna, which is very, very useful for the drive, right, in achieving things, right, needs to be understood and managed for spiritual progress. And buddhi, intellect or mind and free will is the one that plays a very big role in this. Krishna will talk about this. We will see the rest of the verses and hopefully try and complete chapter 3 in the next class. So let's tell Purnamidam now.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
Next 4 weeks we should be having only on Sunday. So anybody has any questions? Let me just open up this. Okay. Indian politics media and all external media are full of critics. How to avoid overwhelming influence of external world in Kali Yuga? Right, or what you mentioned as proofreader's mind, yeah. So I'm only saying, see, we all have professions. We all have to do these things in our life, right? But when it comes to Shastra or scriptures or Gita, faith or Shraddha, I prefer using the word Shraddha because there's no equivalent word to that. I think that becomes very, very critical and important that we make sure that we don't apply the remnants of the proofreader's mind to that. If we are conscious of that, I think we will benefit from the teachings. Can you please put again the link for Swamiji's talk on meditation? Yeah. It's anyway going to be in the slides also, but I know that you might have a, might take some time, so I will just go back to that link. Yeah. It's here. And let me see if anybody else has raised the hand also. If anybody has questions, you can raise your hand. Yeah. Neela, I think you have muted your computer if you want to ask a question.
Yeah. So it's about the gunas. So like when children are born itself, each child might have different combination of the gunas. But as parents, they bring them up similarly because we don't know that. Or and by the time they become adults, or now, for example, at my age, I am realizing my gunas. I don't think I was myself aware of all these. So to guide it in our karma yoga, you know, it should be in accordance with our basic gunas. Na, that's a little confusing to me because what we do, we can go according to the dharmas or according to what is prescribed. Do we have a choice as per our gunas? And do we analyze our gunas and then act? And that was a bit confusing to me on the gunas.
Okay, I'll give you an example, okay? In our own families, we see this. Now, in general, okay, I'm just giving you an example because I don't want it to be overextended. But there are families which don't consider an academic profession as a great profession, okay? They believe that corporate jobs are the best jobs, right? They don't care. Now, I'm not talking about whether an academic profession pays more or not. Maybe there are ways of getting paid more because they can actually get into consulting and other activities. But if the person has sattva guna, right, and a rajoguna combination and who is inclined more towards teaching. I think it is important for the parents to not at least go against the child's interest and push the child into a corporate life, which is more of, you know, extensive rajoguna, because that person will hate going to office on Monday because he or she might have been a better person teaching students and may have derived greater satisfaction out of that. This is just an example. This is a small example of how we see that some child likes XY profession, and as parents, we dissuade them because we feel that money is important or the glamour is more in corporate life. So this is what we need to be careful about.
Okay. Yeah. Okay? Got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Yeah. Thank you. I think we have no more questions. I'm just going through the list once. Oh, okay. There is some more questions here. What should we do to have more sattva guna? Okay. Now this part we can develop through one. We are not talking about vasanas. Automatically, all our starting points are different. As an individual, we all have a basic set of vasanas. So some of them may have natural sattva guna. So let us not get bothered about that too much, because then we will not start at all. So if we have to start developing Sattva Guna, best way is to do Puja, Parayanam, Japam, meditation, etc. By doing meditation, by actually following some of these fasting and, you know, Maunam and all of these, and spending more time on Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam, there is definitely a change to our guna. You can see that happening. And the direct benefit is also FIR reduction and CCC. So as Sattva Guna goes up, your calmness, confidence and cheerfulness also will go up automatically. So just to be able to have financial security, we may end up taking a job which gives enough time for us to pursue our philosophical pursuits, although it is not our type. Is it okay? See, as long as it doesn't conflict with your dharma, adharma, it is okay. If it starts conflicting, one is guna, but if it starts impacting your dharma and adharma, you will find yourself becoming a split personality. And while you are on a spiritual journey, there will be a time when you will not be able to take it and you will say, okay, enough is enough. I need to focus on my spiritual journey. It can happen, right? But as long as you are able to keep it different, right? Your office separate because you have to earn money. As long as it's ethical, it's fine, right? And you can spend that time in your philosophical pursuit. Okay? I think we had a good set of questions here. There is a question. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we should change the gunas. After all, gunas pasti is not wrong. The end result is only where we should change.
Yeah, the question here is whether we should really focus on changing the guna, because guna is innate. See, very important is you should not suppress guna. You should grow out of the guna if it is too much of rajo and tamo guna, right? But should you try to change? The answer is, if you are serious about spiritual journey, it is required. The reason is, if you have too much of tamoguna, it is in direct conflict with our spiritual journey, because it requires shravanam, it requires discipline, right? So we do need to definitely get out of tamoguna. In rajoguna, it is okay, as you said, because your interest may get refined and more directed towards spiritual work rather than professional work at an appropriate time. But it doesn't mean that if you get into Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, you will become like the saint who is so calm and, you know, who is going to Gangotri and meditating. No. The expectation is not that we as Grihasthas will become that. That is not change in guna. We are talking about refining the guna to the extent that we will be able to imbibe the teaching and get the benefit of it. Okay. But I think today we had a very good set of questions. Oh, some more questions. In one of the shlokas, Krishna says, yes, we can follow 5-point program and we can attain moksha. Very important. Anything, wherever Krishna says, follow karma yoga, you will get moksha. The meaning should be interpreted as follow karma yoga. It's like, okay, let me give you a crude example. It's like saying, hey kids, study for 5 hours, you'll get first rank in the exam. Right? It's exactly like that. Here, follow karma yoga, you will develop jnana yogyata. With jnana yogyata, you can go through shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam and attain jnanam, which is moksha. That is how you're supposed to interpret. How to negate impact of external stimuli, including social media, news, etc. in Kali Yuga? This is tough. We have to manage, right? Because once we start shutting out some of the windows, right, because the sensory data goes in through the ears, eyes, etc., you reduce the time and reduce the exposure and focus on spiritual teaching. That's the only way we will be able to do that. Right? We have to go to Jnana Yoga. The question here is, do we not have to go to Jnana Yoga if we follow Karma Yoga? No. You have to follow Karma Yoga and develop Jnana Yogyata. Right? Our mental refinement will help us understand our scriptures better. Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam will be more efficacious and efficient. Right? That is how we should take it as. Karma Yoga will result in Chitta Shuddhi. Right? Okay? Good. So, I think we've had a long set of questions today. Thank you very much. So, next week, same time, Sunday, we will meet. Namaste.